Thank you all for joining us today. Couple of things that I would like to share with you before I start my presentation, and that is, first of all, our intent today is for you to get most of the information while we visit the store later on this afternoon. So, a lot of the questions that you might have, particularly those that are related to customer and assortments and pricing and what we're doing for in the future, you will get those answers probably in a direct way once we visit the store. So, what I'm trying to say is that we'll try to cover myself and the rest of the management team try to cover as much as we can of what we will like to share with you today. But a lot of the actual things will come to life when you go to the store. I'll start with results first. Our results are extraordinarily good. They are extraordinarily good in this environment, but as I will try to position them, they are also extraordinarily good if you look at the way that we see the future and where we, as Walmart U.S., can continue to thrive and succeed. Lee made a reference to a plan, and I'm not gonna dwell on this because you've seen this many times. We've shared this in numerous occasions. The only reason I bring this up is because actually the plan has worked well, and it has worked so well that today we're enjoying a relative success in the marketplace that we are very proud of. Now, the fact of the matter is that the things that we put in place are not going to work only in the present tense. Actually, if you read and if you see and what we are gonna show you today, you'll see that a lot of the strategies that we've been putting in place have actually still quite a bit to play out in the future. And the kind of advantage that we have today will only, in our view, expand and grow because of the fact that we're focused on growth, we're focused on return on investment for our shareholders, and very importantly, we're focused on the people that make it happen day in, day out. So, if I start from the beginning, the reason I feel so confident, and hopefully also it doesn't come across arrogant at all, but the reason I feel very confident about the fact that we are winning in the marketplace and we can continue to win is the work that we have done in hiring, attracting, hiring, developing talent across the entire organization. And if you think about the quality of the management team that we have today and the depth of that management team, you will see that the confidence is well supported by the quality of the people that you will have an opportunity to hear from today. But more importantly, and that's why we've put a lot of presenters today, it's just not to confuse you, actually, it's to just showcase the quality that we of talent that we have. But below those ranks, rest assured that we have a great depth in talent in the company. And because of that, I feel that we're very well positioned, and that's the reason that I sleep very well at night. Now, beyond the leadership team, beyond Bentonville and the quality of management across all of our businesses, the thing that also provide us a sense of purpose, a sense of feeling that we actually have what it takes to succeed, is the fact that this has permeated way beyond the management ranks. If you take a look at our engagement scores that you have right in front of you, you will see that in the last 3 years, we have made significant progress in how our associates feel about the company. And if you look at those results in the field, hourly associates for field management and the home office associates, you see improvement year after year, but particularly you see a significant improvement this last year. Those results from fiscal 09 will reflect the most recent survey that we took back in August of this year. So they are very recent, very fresh. And what they represent is that if you take the field management group, for example, as a group, and the engagement of that group is approaching 80%, best-in-class companies around the world will have about 75% as their objective, as their target. And that group is not a small group. We've got over 30,000 field management associates that would be in that group. And when you see that number approaching 80%, and that's the way that they feel about their company, about their leadership, about the direction of the company, about their own jobs, and about the opportunities that we provide, you would also, much like we do as a management team, feel reassured about the future of the company. Now, engagement scores result in something that obviously translates into real, measurable P&L result, and that is the customer experience drives sales. And as you can see, a significant improvement also in the last year, particularly. We've seen a significant improvement, in the last year in particular with the way that customers see our stores, how they feel about the checkouts, how they feel about the clutter in the stores and how clean the stores are and how friendly our associates are. And this, make no mistake, is what's driving actually currently the results that you're seeing reported by us every month. Now, great customer experience and a plan that we put in place have resulted in very solid financial performance. And now most of this information covers through the second quarter, except for the information that actually we have released already every month in our monthly sales releases. So I will mostly refer to second quarter when it comes to financials, and when we talk about sales, we will be talking about the most recent period that we reported in, so that would be September. Now, the thing that that you see here, and that is significant improvements across the board in every single metric in the Walmart U.S. business. It's certainly a statement of the quality of the plan and the execution that we have seen in the past few months. But beyond that, what we're going to show to you today is how this can be achieved in the future with what we believe is a plan that is not only as solid as the one that we just executed, but actually that brings a lot of consumer information to the plan, to the strategies that we're putting in place. And by doing that, probably we're starting from a position of strength this next 3 years as it relates to when we first started 3 years ago with a plan that we've just finished executing. Great performance across the board. It doesn't matter where you see it. It's just working well. And if you look at how this is driving return on investment, if you take the three metrics that are most important in calculating return invested capital, you see that, first of all, from an operating income point of view, there's an inflection point. Inventories as a percent of sales have been declining in the last 2 years already. So there's been a continuation of the work that started in fiscal 2007. A lot of the work, a lot of the benefits that we're seeing today with the financial performance are actually related to exactly the management of inventory and the way that we have first in the first year, we just went after the low-hanging fruit that we saw out there, and now we have actually created the systems and processes and put them in place in a way that we feel that this way of operating the stores will continue to produce the kind of results that we've seen up until today. And obviously, the big part of your return on investment has to do with CapEx. And Lee said it before, we were ahead of the curve in making the decision to cut down on capital expenditures, rationalize those, and through our capital efficiency model, actually make investments in new stores and remodels that are paying off nicely, as represented by the fact that we have seen the return on investment that was declining, had been declining for quite some time, turn around this year and start on a positive trend. Now, if I look at the things that you can compare with in relative terms in the marketplace, probably the best comparison is with obviously with our peers. And if I know you do every month, several of you report back on comps across different segments and channels and every company. What this does is it just gives you a sense of, hopefully, of confidence in that, contrary to what some people have said or have heard or read about the fact that some parts of our business are working well, but some others are not. This tells a different story. Actually, relative to the marketplace, every single one of our businesses is showing strength. Because if you think about apparel, well, the number is negative. And by the way, this comps comparisons are the most recent information or would reflect the most recent information that we have from competitors. So in some cases, they might reflect second quarter. In some cases, those might reflect through September. But it's the most recent information. If you look at the performance across all of these businesses, it's better than what you see out in the marketplace. As a matter of fact, if you take home, for example, and you see that home, it has a positive comp, and then you read what's happening with the home improvement business, or for that matter, with the home business, period, no matter how you measure it, it's remarkable that our business is healthy and growing. If you take each one of those segments, whether it's grocery, I constantly read about how well some other grocery companies are doing, and I'm glad that everybody's doing well. But make no mistake, if you compare our grocery business to the best-in-class grocery business out there that it's reported and it's a public company, our comps are outperforming the companies of that leading competitor. And now, if you think of performance in terms of trend, judged by the share of the total U.S. retail growth that we are capturing, looks to me like actually the gap is widening and the trend is accelerating. So we are not only taking more share from the market, actually, our share performance is accelerating as time goes by. reflecting the strength of our position, reflecting the fact that the customer trusts Walmart, they trust the Walmart brand. And we stand, obviously, as we always have, for great value, great prices. That's not a position you build in 1 month. That's not a position you build with a campaign, the television campaign. That's a position that's taken 40 years to build in the minds of consumers. And therefore, it's a one that we feel very confident that the consumer will continue to give Walmart the choice every time that they're thinking about price. That is a position that obviously that it's very good for us in the short term, but also plays out very nicely longer term. Let me share now with you, that's results. That's where we are today. That's what you have seen, maybe with a little bit more of color so that you know that it is not only food inflation that's driving our performance, that if you look across, there's a lot more behind the numbers than what you would think. Let me share with you some of the consumer trends that we're seeing, both short-term and longer-term, that are defining how we go to market, but very importantly also that sets the stage for how we will compete in the future. And like I said before, a lot of this will be a lot clearer once you visit our store one later on today. I've shared this in the past, so I'll go through very fast. First, not surprisingly, credit as a percent of the total payment, forms of payment at Walmart has been declining this year. You can see some robust double-digit growth rates in the past 3 years. Not surprisingly, after the second quarter of last year, we started to see the trend reverse. And year-to-date, this year, that number is a negative number. What it means is obviously very clear to all of you, and that is that customers have maxed out on their credit limits. They can't use them more. As a matter of fact, when we started measuring this earlier this year, and then we had the stimulus check come in, for a month or so, we saw the trend reverse. People were able to go back with the stimulus checks and pay down some of their credit debt, and they were suddenly, again, being able to buy with credit, and we saw a spike the following month after the stimulus checks. Well, they used up that credit, and now it has gone back down to a negative number. That obviously has dramatic consequences for a lot of retailers, including Walmart, in terms of discretionary spending. With credit maxed out, the ability to buy discretionary items, it gets curtailed. And for some retailers out in the market, that is probably one of their most challenging issues to deal with. The second thing that we've seen is a change in traffic patterns, and Lee referred to that before. Shopping trips, the way that that customers behave when they shop, the way that where and how frequently they shop is changing significantly with the cost of gasoline. And now that could change again. That could be reversed. But what we're seeing is a tale of three cities, as we call it, because if you look at what's happening when we average this out, that's the numbers that you get typically. You get the weighted average of these three numbers when we report traffic and ticket with our sales releases. But actually, it's a very different environment. If you start with urban, what you see is that traffic, it's growing. Actually, it's growing. In a way, it reflects the fact that we're picking market share. But it also reflects the fact that because of a shorter distance, customers then are choosing to shop more frequently while they are being a little bit more conservative with how much they shop each time. If you go move towards the right, what you see is exactly the opposite happening. Suburban stores, so this is all stores that are in suburban areas, you see a different behavior. Here, traffic actually is almost flat, and all the growth is coming from ticket. And then the extreme is obviously in stores in rural areas where the cost of the overall transaction is heavily impacted by the cost of transportation. And having to get on a car and drive 20 or 30 miles to the store makes customers behave very differently. And that is what you see there, where you see traffic down in rural stores while the frequency is going up, while the ticket is going up significantly. I've shared this in the past, but I have to share it again because this one is one that we are focusing on very significantly in Walmart, because if you think about the fact that we are capturing new customers, traffic at stores that serve households with incomes that are above $65,000, which we qualified or categorized them as high-income stores, are growing much faster than the chain. And what that tells you is that we are seeing a lot of new customers that did not consider Walmart before, that consider Walmart now, and hopefully after you see the store one and what we are doing for all our fleet out there, you will hopefully agree with us that those customers will stay at Walmart because they will get the value and quality of products that they demand in a customer environment that they enjoy. And as we do that, I think that we're going to win customers from the rest of the market. I'll briefly things that are changing longer term. Some of the behaviors and trends rather than behaviors that we're seeing in the marketplace, and you know all of this already, but these are important for us because these are driving what we are calling Project Impact, and you will see reflected in the rest of the presentations today. These are changes, trends that won't play out next quarter, but they will play out 5 years out. They will play out slowly in the way that customers behave when they choose to shop and where they choose to shop. Each one of those will be addressed in the presentations that you'll hear afterwards. So what's our new three-year plan? It starts with this framework. We've come up with a very simple framework, one that allows us to communicate with customers very easily, but more importantly, has helped us align the entire organization. So today, when we talk about our project impact within the organization, it's clear that we're talking about first what we stand for, and that is we save people money so they can live better, how we assort our stores, so how do we go to market, which is our win, play, show strategy that John Fleming and his merchants will be talking about today, and how the customer experiences the brand in the store. Stores, and that is a fast, a friendly, and a clean environment. And you will hear from Bill Simon how we are making this happen. These are the initiatives that we're working on, and these initiatives reflect exactly what I just talked to you about. And with that, I will leave you with John Fleming.
Thanks, Eduardo. These 10 words, this framework, has really given us the opportunity as an entire U.S. Business unit to coordinate and align around driving great value to our customers, both in the products that we sell and how they experience the brand. What I'm going to talk about in the next few minutes is the merchandising strategy, which has to do with win, play, and show. And I know there are many of you, probably people from New Jersey, that are saying, I think that second word's wrong. I think it's supposed to be place, right? It is about making bets, but it's really about defining the role of each business within our portfolio. So we have businesses that we're going to win in, businesses that we're going to play in, and businesses that we're going to show in. And they each have a different role in the portfolio to deliver the results that we're looking for. So to get a little more tactical, this is what it comes down to. Every business that we have, whether it's a department, a category, or a subcategory, gets put into one of these four boxes. And there are three things that we consider. First is growth. How much growth is available, both to Walmart in terms of market share, but also how much growth is in the market. The second thing we think about is, do we have a scale advantage? Do we have a scale advantage that allow us to drive price separation? And thirdly is, what do we have in terms of customer credibility? Do we have access to the full range that customers are looking for to consider this category? A win category has all three. A show category, on the flip side, is something that probably is not growing. We don't have a lot of credibility. We may or may not have a scale advantage, and yet it is very important to that one-stop shop proposition that we represent to customers to have it. But in doing so, we need to drive efficiency within that assortment. So on the right-hand side, with win and play grow, we're looking for businesses that we really can define the range relative to our competitors. We have businesses here where we can drive significant growth, and we invest in presentation and pricing to be able to communicate that to customers. On the left-hand side, where there's less growth, we're looking about efficiency and productivity. It's about rationalizing SKUs to make it easier for customers to shop and rationalizing suppliers so we can drive more profit to those businesses to be able to invest in the growth businesses. So that's how we're taking this framework and driving that into the various business units. So what does a win category look like? The win category says the overall category is expanding. We can get sales through the category or we can get it through market share. We have a scale advantage that allows us to offer price separation, and we have credibility because everything the customers are looking for, we have access to, and we have credibility in this space. In order to manage our business better using this framework, we've had to build new systems to develop capabilities. And these are five areas that we're focused on. We started last year. We've started to develop some of these tools and deliver them to the merchants. And by the next year, most of these will be implemented in the business. They're specifically around pricing and planning, space allocation, replenishment, and then decision support tools to be able to manage the categories better. So at the foundation of everything we do is price leadership. And our customers need price leadership now more than ever. And so that we're really looking in those categories to be able to deliver strong price leadership through the way we feature products and the way that we go to market. Let me give you an example of some communication that we're doing to customers today to reinforce this price leadership position.
Let's say you spend $100 a week at the supermarket. If you buy the same groceries at Walmart, on average, you'll save over $700 a year. What would you do with all that money? Save money, live better. Walmart.
So let me give you three specific examples of how this has been working this year. First would be in consumables. And we're thinking more broadly about consumables, not just the department that we call consumables that's made up of HBA and household products, but thinking of consumables across the box. That would be defined as products that have high household penetration, high frequency of purchase, and where we have access to national brands that our customers trust and we're able to have price separation. Every business unit has consumables within their business. In hard lines, it's from light bulbs to motor oil. In apparel, it's socks and underwear. And we have these businesses throughout the store. And as we've focused on these businesses through price and presentation, we've been able to drive significant improvements in comps in all business units. This is working today and will work into the next year, especially the way our customers are thinking today. Another example of where we're winning is in the seasonal categories. We've started to merchandise candy 2 years ago like this, and now we've really expanded this to the full range of Halloween products. We have clearly defined presentation standards. We have strong price leadership position. And as an example, in Halloween candy this year, we are running double-digit comps in Halloween candy and taking market share. We think that by the time Saturday morning comes, we will increase our market share from 31 to 33% in the Halloween candy business. And lastly, this is an interesting one because physical music sales have been in decline for over 5 years. And yet music has never been more consumed by customers than it is today. It's just done differently. It's harder to do it with physical product. So the brands are good, and we've taken this approach a couple of times. We started with the Eagles a year ago, and we expanded to a launch that we had, and we took it to a whole nother level where we actually merchandised a new CD that's exclusively at Walmart from AC/DC. We merchandised it in the young men's pad and surrounded it with T-shirts, video games. We did exclusive software from Rock Band that will be launching this Sunday. And the results have been spectacular. We will sell over 1 million copies of this CD in 2 weeks. It'll be Billboard number one, and it lifted the entire music category to a positive comp last week. In addition to that, we've trafficked the apparel area, and so we will sell over 1 million T-shirts in 2 weeks in this area. So it's a way to leverage brands our customers know and trust, and yet go to market differently to be able to create new value in the marketplace. With these examples, we believe that we're well-positioned for holiday. And in fact, we typically lose market share in the holiday because our customers go elsewhere for gifts and specialty foods. We set up this weekend, we opened the Christmas shop to really set the tone that we are the destination for holiday. We've got incredible assortments and prices on food, gift ideas, and probably the most visible day of the holiday season is the day after Thanksgiving, which is also known internally as Blitz Friday. This was a great day for us last year. I think this was the first time when we felt like that coordination and alignment was really coming together in terms of merchandising, marketing, and operations. We delivered a mid-single digits comp on that day. It's the biggest day of the year for us. It's the biggest day in the market. And one of the things that we did, in addition to the great pricing and the great communication, is we had an incredible plan in store to really take care of customers. And what this chart shows is even though that was our biggest day of the year, we actually had the best scores in store on fast, friendly, and clean stores. So we've taken that approach to all of the big volume days and holidays. So not only do we have the offerings, the communication, but our stores are going to be ready for the volume that we're going to do. So at this point, I'd like to invite Steve Brasbies to come up and talk about the communication that we're going to have to support the product offerings that we have and also the operations being ready for the holidays. Steve?
Thanks, John. Good afternoon, everybody. Appreciate the opportunity to talk to you today. For those of you in the room I haven't met, as John said, my name is Steve Brasbies, Senior Vice President of Marketing here at Walmart. I've been with the company for about 3 years. I'm really proud to be a part of this company, this team, and all the great business results that we've been able to drive. What I'm going to talk to you today is how we're going to keep winning in the marketplace, how we're going to win this holiday season. And to do so, we're going to follow the winning formula that we know already works, which is price leadership and delivering on our brand promise of saving people money so they can live better. Now, we know things are tough on our customers. Lee talked about it earlier. Times are tough out there. But we know that they need us more than ever. Leek said it's Walmart time, and we're ready to serve those customers better than we ever have. So let's talk about how we're going to win this holiday season. First, we're going to have a completely integrated approach in our store. You're going to see a consistent look from signing and feature presentations. If you look over on the left side of that screen, kind of a sneak peek at what the store is going to look like, some of the signing, how we're going to pull it all together so that it's consistent throughout the store. We're also going to create distinct destinations throughout the store. John talked about the Christmas shop. Last year, we had great success with the Christmas shop, pulling it all together, one place for mom to come and find all kinds of great gifts and all kinds of decor she needs, all in one place. And we're also going to pull together a gift destination this year. You're going to be able to walk into Walmart and find great gifts at unbeatable prices. You can see $5, $10 price points. Incredible clarity on great gifts at unbeatable prices. You'll be able to find those throughout our store. So once we nail the in-store and we really set what we want customers to see, then we turn our attention to focusing on the external communication. How do we communicate to our customers outside the store? And our approach there is really building an integrated message that captures everything that we want to talk about. And this year, we're going to take a two-prong approach. The first is price leadership. Now, John just showed you an ad a couple minutes ago that talks about $700 that you can save in groceries shopping at Walmart. You're going to see a lot more of those ads from us this holiday season, some very seasonally relevant, some on more of our everyday basics business like grocery. But we're really going to be very aggressive with our message out there as we continue to build momentum this season. The second approach we're going to take is around holiday ads that focus on delivering those special family moments. Mom's going to be working really hard this year to deliver Christmas. And as Lee said, Christmas will come on December 25th, but she's going to have to work a little harder this year to deliver those special moments for her kids and for her entire family. And we believe we're very well positioned to be her true partner to really help her save money so she can deliver for her family. Now, this approach is not just for TV ads. Everything that we do, whether it's our circulars, on digital advertising, print advertising, all of our different mediums are all going to pull these two messages together and be coordinated throughout the season. Now, to bring all this to life, I want to show you just two ads that try to give you an example of the flavor of the message that you're going to see from us at holiday. The first one is Thanksgiving food and talks about our freshness guarantee and the great food you can get at unbeatable prices at Walmart. And the second one is about those special moments of how mom's going to feel on Christmas morning when she's able to save money and then deliver the gifts that her children really want. So if you could run those two ads, please.
Making sure your Thanksgiving is fresh and delicious, and there's enough to actually reach the table. Walmart has unbeatable prices on everything from tender, juicy turkeys to fresh baked breads. And we're committed to 100% freshness guaranteed. With thousands of new rollbacks, Christmas costs less at Walmart. Save money, live better. Walmart.
Thanks to Walmart's unbeatable prices, I was able to wrap up all of their dreams. I'm sure they'll say,
"The Nintendo DS!
Nintendo DS!
It's Gabriella from High School Musical!
Wow, the Handy Mannequin!
With thousands of new rollbacks, Christmas costs less at Walmart. Save money, live better. Walmart.
So we think we're extraordinarily well positioned and are really excited about this holiday season. It's going to be difficult, the customer's going to be under pressure, but we are really well prepared. So just to wrap up, three things you should expect from us this holiday season. Number one, as always, price leadership on great products. It's the foundation of everything we do, and that will continue through the holiday season. Second is a coordinated in-store approach, creating key destinations. We're going to have a consistent look throughout the store. And finally, messaging that ties it all together, pulls it all together around price leadership, the special family moments, and then delivering, most importantly, on our brand promise, which is save money, live better. With that, thank you very much. I appreciate your time, and I'll turn it back to you, John.
Thanks, Steve. As you can see, those 10 words have really focused us and really driven our results this year. But what you're going to see and what we're really excited to show you later today is when we do the store tour. Because for next year, we're going to take Project Impact to a whole nother level. Because we're going to take this framework and now it's going to be directed towards the capital that we spend. And so that everything that we just talked about, save money, live better, win, play, and show, fast, friendly, clean, is brought to life in the stores, both in our remodels and the new stores that we build next year. What you as shareholders will see is an improved customer experience, a platform to be able to drive both product and price impression to customers, and most importantly, better returns. Now, what the customer sees is price leadership. It is the single foundation by which everything is built on. But what they will also see is clearer assortments. It will be easier to shop. The clarity of the assortments will be evident as you shop that store. And lastly, that we distort and exaggerate the growth categories. This is where the business is going, and this is where we can drive market share. Now, to bring this to life, we're going to share three examples with you. We're going to start with grocery, and then we're going to have an example from apparel and home, where they talk about, from a business unit standpoint, how do we use this Project Impact framework to be able to drive their business in store. So first, I'd like to bring up Jack Sinclair, who runs our grocery business unit, and Andrea Thomas, who runs private brands in the grocery business unit. Jack?
Great. Thanks very much, John. Really appreciate being here. Good afternoon, everybody. If I can just take a moment, Andrea, if I may, just to introduce myself. I joined Walmart in January. I had a 20-odd career working in the grocery industry in the United Kingdom, and it's a great pleasure to be here. And I will say, as a relative newcomer, it's quite remarkable the alignment that exists in our business between the merchandising operations and marketing teams. And I do believe that one of the reasons that we're performing well in the market is that very clear alignment. The grocery business unit is performing well, and success is coming from a focus on the priorities of price leadership, clarity of presentation, and focusing in on growth categories. Price leadership has been the cornerstone of our strong performance. As we all know, there's been trip consolidation as the result of the economic environment. Mums are becoming very careful about where she decides to make the grocery shop. And price separation will continue to be the basis for driving traffic to our stores. We sell brands for less. On all KVIs, we monitor our price position on individual known value items within specific markets against the leading grocery competitor and the leading mass competitor. All our internal measures show that the price gap is widening in most markets in recent months, and we continue to work on widening the gap further in a number of key markets. In store, we will reinforce the strong price image that Walmart has in the minds of our customers through presenting products with authority, backed by a strong and consistent price message. We want bold displays of single products backed by single price points that can clearly be seen by our customers as she navigates her way through the shopping trip. So selling brands for less is important, but as our customers are looking to stretch their dollars as far as they can, private brands are becoming more and more important. And we're excited about the work that Andrea is leading, particularly on great value, to build on that strength. Why don't you talk about that, Andrea?
Thank you. As Jack mentioned, my name is Andrea Thomas, and I manage our grocery private brands. I've spent my career building brands, and I have never seen such a tremendous opportunity as we have now with our private brands. Our price value shoppers need us now more than they ever have. We've been working hard on the fundamentals to strengthen all of our private brands. We will be relaunching Great Value during the first quarter of next year, and we're building from a position of strength. Great Value is the largest brand at Walmart. It plays across more than 100 categories, making it the largest food brand in the country. In this economically challenging environment, we have seen our customers turn to us even more this year. We have plans to make this brand even stronger with improved value and quality. The packaging is being redesigned to improve our communication of the brand. The new design has a much better brand billboard and much more appetizing food photography. We aren't just dressing up the outside. We have also worked hard on what we are putting on the inside. We have tested over 5,500 products against the national brands, and we are in the process of reformulating 1,200 items. With the relaunch, you'll see product improvements in categories such as cold cereal, cookies, and yogurt. In addition to getting the product right, we are partnering with world-class product testing facilities to ensure product quality and consistency across the line. With the new packaging will come much more visible product guarantee. We have a professionally staffed 1-800 number along with online product support. We've also recently staffed a team to focus on gaining efficiency across the supply chain. They are looking at logistics, raw ingredients, and packaging to find cost savings that will be invested into price leadership and brand building. We have a lot going on in the coming months that will position us well to deliver on our brand promise of saving people money so they can live better. Back to you, Jack, now for some more exciting plans we have for the grocery segment.
Thanks very much, Andrea. So our push for greater clarity will improve the shopping experience for our customers. The principles of win, play, show that John outlined earlier is helping us to prioritize and inform those areas that we are choosing to emphasize in store. All departments and categories within the grocery business unit have been classified as win, play, or show. We've completed deep dive category management forensics on a number of categories to understand where and how to focus. As a result of this work, we know there's an opportunity for us to increase our already large sales within fresh foods. Project Impact, which you'll see later, has significantly improved our presentation of fresh foods. We're creating more space for our customers, emphasising product and price in both produce and bakery, creating a marketplace feel. There are also sight lines into the theatre of bakery and meal solutions, creating a stronger fresh food appeal and allowing us to better capitalise on the opportunity that fresh food has to appeal to all the senses of our customers. When we present with authority, we are already seeing strong results in store. And as part of our focus on growth, we've spent a lot of time on pets. We've always had a strong market share in the pet category, but as the category has evolved, customer demands and expectations have risen, and the customer has greater expectation of the environment where they shop for their pet needs. We've significantly changed the locations, the adjacencies, and the sight lines to create a distinct and welcoming pet environment within the Project Impact stores. The results are good. Customers are giving us credit for the ranges that we sell and feel that we understand their passion for pets. We're becoming a pet care provider as opposed to a pet food merchant. We're seeing similar work coming together in the beauty category, which will benefit from an improved location and environment. Both pet and beauty have some headroom for us, but they're not the only categories that will benefit from a focus of clarity of presentation and growth in the year ahead. As I said at the outset, the grocery business unit is performing well. We do expect further share gains in the year ahead, and we are focused on price separation, which will drive traffic to our stores, focused on clarity, which will allow us to maximise the opportunity from growth categories and build long-term loyalty to our business. Thank you very much. I'd like to now pass you on to Dottie, who will talk through apparel.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Dottie Madison. I have the pleasure and the privilege of leading the apparel business here at Walmart. John talked to you about customers, about the way we go to market, which is Project Impact. And he talked to you about win, play, show, which is how we manage our portfolios. And you know what? Those are two things we're really passionate about at Walmart, customers and winning. And apparel is a very important part of our portfolio. So a year ago, I had the opportunity, the pleasure, to stand before you and talk to you about our apparel business for the first time. I'm happy to be back here today to report to you some of the things we've achieved in the last year. We said what we were going to do, and we did it. The first thing we said was that we will have price leadership on top brands. And here's a picture of a snapshot from one of our stores, and I hope you see what I see, which is price leadership on terrific brands, clarity of pricing. It is clear to me that this is a company that is about price. Now, specifically to give you some examples, the way that we're working on price leadership on top brands in apparel, three ways. First, we have increased significantly our private label capability. Today, there are teams focused on the design, development, merchandising, and financial performance of our private label brands and apparel. We consider this to be a strategic advantage that we are very happy to report is achieved. Second, we have changed and are enhancing our brand portfolio. We have proprietary brands today that we didn't have yesterday. We've doubled down on some of our brands. And so you will continue to see, as we assert price leadership on top brands, the brand part of that. You will continue to see great brands come to market. Third, as John said, we are going to be very clear about price to our customer. So by store, by market, by zone, we have the data and the intelligence to make sure we continually lead in the market. So first thing we said we were going to do is that we were going to be price leaders on top brands, and we are working on that today. Second is clarity of offering. This is a snapshot from store one in Rogers, which we will tour together later this afternoon. And what you're looking at here is what we call the hot spot in apparel. Basically, we took a tenth of our real estate in the ladies' part of our division and cleared it off. And we started this in January, where we brought Hannah Montana to market. And we basically bore down and re-merchandised this part of the store, and we turned it super fast. And for us, clarity of offering means first this of being really clear about what's going on in the store, where this hotspot could either mean let's celebrate an event like Halloween. It could mean let's launch a new brand, the way we brought Ellie eye with the country superstar Taylor Swift at Back to School. It was in the hotspot. Or we could use it to bear down on a customer or a category. In December, you'll see here a great Junior's Gifts to Go section. So this is the first way that we talk about clarity of offering, is what goes on in the store, what the customer sees. The second thing in clarity of offering is really around SKU reduction and rationalization, because the way to make this happen is for the teams internally to focus. We have a significantly less amount of SKUs in apparel today than we did a year ago. It's made the teams more focused, and it's easier for us to deliver clear messages like this when we're focused on what we're doing. So, second thing, clarity of offering. Third, we committed to investing in growth categories. For us to win in apparel, we needed the tailwind of the market and what our customer needed. And I'm happy to report to you today that some of the choices we made have been paying off. This slide that you're looking at is one of our proprietary brands, Dan Skin Now, which is part of a mega trend, which is active for the family. On the feminine side of our business, we have Dan Skin Now. On the masculine side of our business, we have the Starter brand. Active, we talked about this last year, active for the family has been a very important part of our business and a very important trend in the market. Some other things that are going on in the business is denim for the family. We've changed our denim brand portfolio, and it has enhanced not only the performance of our national brands, but also the performance of our private labels. So that portfolio is mixing out very well. Third, consumables for the family. As John mentioned, what we call socks and underwear, consumables, apparel consumables, have been doing very well. We have the industry leaders in that part of the business, Hanes and Fruit of the Loom. Fourth, a growth category, which we talked about last year and is continuing today, is our entertainment properties across the family. So things like Hannah Montana that we talked about, High School Musical 3, our good friend SpongeBob, all of those entertainment properties, the great example of AC/DC that John showed you, we've been able to leverage our capability across category to really bring great entertainment properties to our customer. And last, which Lee mentioned briefly, is that our children's apparel business has been very strong. Our high acceptance as a family brand is showing in the business today. We talked about this in our September sales release. That's a trend that we expect to see continue. So, in apparel, as John said, we are working on win, play, show. We're working this portfolio by delivering you price leadership on top brands, clarity of offering, and investing in the growth categories. So, I'm going to turn it over to Linda Hefner, who runs our home business. Thank you.
Thank you, Dottie. I'm Linda Hefner, and I'm responsible for the home business. I had the pleasure of speaking with you a year ago. At that time, I'd been with the company just 5 months. And so I'm happy to be back a year later and update you on the progress on our results since then. Eduardo, I appreciate your kind words. I have a great leadership team in home and brands and product design and development and our buying teams and strategic sourcing, and I'm inspired every day by their hard work and their absolute passion to deliver to our customer. In home, we have, in the home division, a rallying cry: same or better quality at a lower price. We're passionate about price leadership, but true price leadership requires quality parity or superiority with the competition. And in the home division in the past year, across all of our categories, we identified market-driven quality standards and made changes where we needed to. And as a result, we feel very strong about our position now from a quality standpoint. We're also very committed to price leadership. We've introduced hundreds of rollbacks this past year in addition to our everyday low price position. Recently, we conducted a price gap analysis with our key competitors, and which showed us that our key competitors have prices higher than us by anywhere from 15 to 50% in home. So we feel very strongly positioned in this tough economy. One of the ways we are really trying to showcase that quality and price positioning in store is with features like this. This is a picture of the home pad that I shared with you last year that we're rolling out, and then now, because of the strong results, as part of Project Impact. You see the low-profile fixtures here in our kitchen shop, but you see two new things since last year. One is the clean aisles surrounding this kitchen shop. There are no features in Action Alley here, and so our customers can actually see into the home pad much more easily and see what's featured there from a price standpoint with this strong signage. In a recent 30-door test of these clean aisle programs, the home department saw 170 basis point improvement in sales performance as a result of that. The second new thing that you see is this fixture. You'll see this in the store tour this afternoon. It's a new high-capacity end cap then right there on our aisles, on those clean aisles, that holds more capacity of these featured programs. When I met with you a year ago, I shared with you some big plans we had in home regarding our brand portfolio. In addition to our very strong national brands like General Electric, Dyson, Bissell, Black & Decker, and KitchenAid, many others, we knew in some categories that we needed to introduce new proprietary brands. So this past year, we have introduced two new multi-category brands that are better brands. One is Canopy, and one is Better Homes & Gardens, and I'm pleased to report they're doing very well since the launch. We've had very strong double-digit comps in some key categories for these brands, and on Walmart.com, our customers give us above-average reviews and ratings on our reviews and ratings schedule. So one of the things I told you about last year, that one of the benefits of great brands, in addition to the brand loyalty and advocacy that you get from the customers, is this brand blocking kind of presentation in store, the clarity of assortment that brands helps us provide to our customers is really noticeable. So you see here in this slide our dinnerware offering and mainstays, Canopy, and Better Homes and Gardens right here, this trifecta of brands. In addition to these two new brands, we relaunched this year our mainstays brand. That is our brand that is targeted. It's a big brand. It's over 4,000 SKUs in home. It is targeted at our core price value customer. In over a dozen categories, we went in and improved quality, improved the packaging, and either maintained or lowered price in all of the mainstays categories. So these three brands together, you'll see in their store tour this afternoon, in over 15 different categories, this same trifecta, the same rhythm of mainstays, Canopy, Better Homes and Gardens throughout the home department. Growth categories, there's been a very, very important trend in the last few years in the United States about dining in at home. Increasingly, customers are choosing to dine in at home. The percentage of meals that are prepared and consumed at home is higher than it used to be, whereas restaurant meals and takeout meals are declining. And in this very challenging economy, we expect that trend will accelerate. And so categories that are related to in-home dining, like cookware, bakeware, cutlery, and dinnerware, are very important growth categories for us, and we're investing. You see here in this photo a picture of our brand-new Paula Deen cookware line. This is a category that we've seen very positive comps, and we expect that trend to continue, or Paula Deen line to help accelerate that trend in cookware sets for Walmart. It's a wonderful example of how we help our customers save money and live better at home. And now I'll turn it over to Stephen Quinn in marketing.
Thanks, Linda. Good afternoon. It's great to see everybody again. You know, the drivers of our business make up the ingredients of the ideal experience of our brand for our customers. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you some of the ways that these drivers are being incorporated into change initiatives to improve our customers' experience. And so these are the 10 words that Eduardo talked about. This is the core of our strategy and the drivers of our business. As you're going to see this afternoon when you tour our store, the in-store experience is getting clearer, it's getting easier, and it's getting a lot faster. And in addition to clean, that's what customers want from our in-store experience. And that's what empowers shopping that saves families money on the everyday needs of life. Now, a further part of the shopping experience in-store is the recently announced Walmart Smart Network. Now, this is part of our larger integrated and cross-channel engagement approach. I'm going to show you just a short video now that's going to explain what the smart network is.
140 million shoppers walk through our doors each week with 140 million different reasons to shop. Today, we unveil a new way to communicate with shoppers that anticipates their needs, reacts in real time to what's happening in their world, and delivers your message to the right person at exactly the right moment. Introducing the Walmart Smart Network. Welcome screens greet her the moment she walks in the door and get her shopping trip started. They know what time it is, what the weather will be this weekend, what is relevant to her. Like quickly telling her what's on rollback in her Iowa City store, or reminding her to pick up more Coke because it's going to be 80 degrees on Saturday. And that's just the beginning. Smart network category screens engage her with timely solutions and suggestions that are programmed in real time. Like, it's 5 o'clock and take and bake pizza would be a simple dinner solution for her family tonight. And in electronics, a wall of HD TV screens gives her the latest in entertainment solutions, helping her choose the right TV or select from the latest video games, cell phones, or DVD releases. End cap screens throughout the store offer her useful, interactive information to help her make a purchase right now, right at the moment of decision. Now, with the most technically sophisticated network in retail history, the Walmart Smart Network has the ability to communicate to shoppers with more relevance and power than ever before. How smart is that?
Now, the network is smart, and it's smart because it's interactive, and it doesn't just push content to our customers. It also allows for local customization and enables us to adjust our approach at store level based on customer response. That's really smart. And you're going to get to see this network this afternoon live. So that's inside the store. Outside of the store, you're going to increasingly see a consistent presentation of our brand and what we stand for. That includes our store exteriors, our trucks, and advertising in all of its forms. Now, earlier, you saw Steve Bratsby's and Andrea Thomas show examples of how we've improved our capability in the traditional aspects of marketing. We're very confident that our communication of our core promise of savings to families is working and that it's absolutely right for this coming holiday season. But you know what? We're not just standing still. We're moving into new ways to engage our customers. User-generated content and the dramatic emergence of communities have been spawned by the technology of the internet. And recently, we announced a community of moms who are enabled to share ideas on how families can save even more money. Response has been very strong, with dozens of videos already uploaded by moms who have tips to share with others. These videos can be viewed through Walmart.com and on YouTube. And the total website experience includes expert advice as well as the opportunity for every single customer to participate. And you know what? There's a lot more ways that we're using technology to enable cross-channel engagement with customers. And to talk further about these advances, I'm going to introduce Raul Vasquez, who leads our Walmart.com.
Thank you. Hello, I'm Raul Vasquez, and I lead our Walmart.com division. Eduardo showed a slide earlier today that was showing some of the consumer trends that we know are impacting our business. We know consumers today want more information than they've ever wanted before. We know there's increasing value to convenience. We know that they're accessing this information and they want this convenience in mobile devices much more so than they ever have in the past. What we do at Walmart.com is we want to address those needs that the customer has by more closely connecting the stores that we have today with our online channel, and that we believe that through the integration, the close integration of those two channels, we can drive more traffic to Walmart and to Walmart.com, more sales, and therefore improve the return of our company. I'm going to walk you through some examples of how we do that today. The first is this find in stores capability. We rolled that out last year, and this is a great example of the connection. What can happen here is a customer goes to Walmart.com and is looking for more information about a product. If she decides this is the product she wants, she clicks on a button after providing her zip code and finds out if the product is available in her local store. So at that point, she can decide she either wants to buy it from .com and have it delivered to her home, or she can go pick it up at her store immediately. This capability has already been used over 75 million times, so we know it is driving traffic and knowledge about our products for our customer base. Based on the success that we've had here, what we've done is we've decided to expand that capability and to start listing some of the other products that are available in stores. Because again, if you think about this desire for more information, the best thing that we can do is expose more of the product offering to our customers and let her know about the products that are available in her local Walmart. Grocery, health and beauty, and pets are businesses that do very well for the stores. They were businesses that were not represented on Walmart.com until recently, and now we've given them the same level of visibility as the other departments that we have on our website. So it is very easy for our customers to come online, learn more about these products, and when they learn about these products, it's not simply going to be whether or not they're available at their local Walmart, which is important given the fact that we vary the selection of product based on the community a product is in. But we also wanted to go ahead and again, meet the needs for convenience. So whenever you walk into a store and you're walking down a grocery aisle, you see that many customers take the product, they turn it around, and try to figure out if that's a product that is best for their families or their particular nutritional needs. That same information now we've made available on Walmart.com. Again, trying to feed that need for convenience. Mobility is one of the big trends, and many of you, I'm sure, are carrying iPhones or Blackberries. So one of the new applications we launched was an iPhone application. And what we want to try to do with this application, again, is let customers know about the product that's available at Walmart and Walmart.com. But in this case, it may be when they're standing in a competitor store and they're maybe thinking about buying that product at a competitor. Now with their same with this device that they're carrying in their hand, they can look up the product, figure out that it's available at Walmart, know what the price is at Walmart, know the rating of the product, and then hopefully decide to walk out of that store and come into our store and buy the product from us. Finally, as Stephen mentioned, we're doing some interesting work in community. The work in community is also meant to help us complement the self-service model that we have in the stores. So one of the new pieces of functionality that we recently rolled out was this Q&A functionality. What that allows a customer to do is to ask a question about the product, and then other customers can answer that question. It may be things like, if you buy this TV, what is the combined height of the stand with the television? Those are things that aren't standard in our product descriptions, but they're things that are important to customers. And this is a very cost-effective way to allow customers to help each other, again, hopefully driving traffic and sales for our business. So these are just examples of how we're looking to integrate the channels to better meet customer needs and to drive sales. And with that, I'll pass it along to Bill Simon.
Thank you. Get a chance to try to wrap all this up a little bit, because the 10 words that we've talked about all end up with clean, fast, and friendly. And fast, as we talk about with this picture of the checkout lanes here, doesn't just mean the checkouts. It's fast because the assortment is clear that comes from John's win, play, show strategy. It's fast because we've laid the store out correctly and properly that allows a customer to get in and out more quickly. It's not just clean as a clean in the restrooms or clean in the floor. It's clean in the sight lines. It's clean in the merchandise assortment. And it's really important to understand that those 10 words are laid in around a circle around the customer, and that with the customer obviously being in the center, in order to deliver clean, fast, and friendly, we have to deliver win, play, and show. And in order to deliver save money, live better, we have to deliver win, play, show, clean, fast, and friendly. And as an example of that, there's nothing that's enabled both of those anymore than our performance on inventory. And as you can see, the yellow line shows us over the last 4 quarters with relatively flat inventory and accelerating sales. That does so much for the operating efficiency of the unit, as you all know, in the form of shrink and accidents and labor productivity, that's allowed us to do what I committed to last year. And the chart on your left-hand side shows labor productivity is measured by sales per labor hour, which has continued to accelerate throughout the year. That has come in several forms, but primarily, as you see on the right-hand side, the front-end productivity that we've been talking about for some time now. In fact, that 4% increase is in the second year, so it's provided sustainable improvement, and I think that's important as well. The backroom program that we launched earlier this year is showing a 5.3% productivity increase, and that is in the second phase of the rollout that will be done this month, and we'll be able to see those improvements continue throughout the coming year. You'll notice the uncolored part of the chart is actually the middle of the store, the vast majority of the space of the store. So we believe we have operating efficiency, improvement efficiencies to come. And as I said last year, we believed that we could cover the rate increases for minimum wage and other rate increases through productivity, and we have exceeded that. In order to continue to do that, I want to talk to you very briefly about the people development needs that we have. We've launched this fall an Operations Leadership Academy that's designed to accelerate all of the levels of our management and our management team to recruit and retain and develop at a more rapid pace our capability. And very important, because it's also been important for our growth in our productivity and our clean, fast, friendly metrics, is process and consistency. As we lay down process and replicate it, we become more and more efficient at it. And I wanted to let you know that we have those plans in play. In the stores, we're also on a very fast track, we believe, for zero waste, our goal. We've made tremendous amount of progress over the last 2 years, to the point where today our recycling revenues are exceeding our expenses. And not only is it good for the environment, it's also very good for the P&L, because it's actually generating a positive revenue, offsetting all of the expenses and then some. Where the phase that we're at now is focusing on organic waste in the store, produce, throwaways, and meats. And we believe we've got several ideas and pilots in play to be able to manage that. And that is the big difficult one for us. And once we do that, we will be able to deliver that. I couldn't finish talking about operating efficiency without mentioning our logistics and transportation fleet. If you saw that big hybrid truck out front, we've been able to, in very difficult diesel price environment, been able to offset some of those price increases with an increase in miles per gallon fuel efficiency. You could also see we're loading trucks more efficiently, improving the loading of the trucks by 5.3%, reducing empty truck miles. And the net of it all is that with 3% increase in cases shipped on the year, we've been able to actually reduce the miles driven by 7.8%. If you take that and the fuel efficiency element of that, we're getting a very, very big contribution from our transportation team in our efficiency this year. I'm going to try to wrap all this up, the discussion that we've had about Project Impact, with a timeline of the rollout of the remodels that you can expect. And I'd like to point out that we believe the middle bar at fiscal 12, we're going to remodel 70% of our base fleet in the next 3 years. We'll finish it out over the following two, but you should be able to see this in most of our stores coming up in the not-too-distant future. The new store expansion program is the same as we had described to you before. The only difference that you'll see is that, given the external economic issues, we have our target stores number was 140. We've got them planned, working those projects, and we've built a little flexibility into the system that, given the economic conditions, if they allow us to move that number by about 15 units should we need to. And with that, I'm going to turn it back to Eduardo to finish this off.
Bill, I hope that with what you have heard, you have the same level of confidence that we do. In terms of our ability to continue to drive top-line growth and drive operating profit. Now, return on investment requires also a prudent management of capital. And the plan that you just saw there translates into what you see right there. First, let me point out one thing. In terms of new stores, you saw that we are reducing the number of new stores that we're planning to open next year. That's why you see that reduction in the absolute number. By the way, the fact is that the total investment, capital investment that you see there, the 9.1 million, a billion going into a range of 5.8 to 6.4, let's say 6.1 for the sake of argument, the midpoint, and then going to 6.5, 6.6 next year, actually doesn't tell the entire story. And the reason I say that is because If you were to normalize this, and let me tell you what normalization means, the fact is that we, in fiscal 08, we made the decision to reduce the number of stores that we were going to open. And because of that, some of our program where we already had invested in, and therefore appears in the actual capital investment for that year, actually were stores that were opened the following year. So there's a distortion that it's about $800 million on average what we're coming to, that would make the FY09 number slightly higher than what you're seeing there if you think of stores that actually were built and started operations on each one of those years. The second thing I would like to call your attention to is the fact that remodels are taking center stage here. Because if you think about what you will see this afternoon, and if we have been able to express our passionate belief that we have a great strategic framework that translates into a great presentation, in-store presentation, then you will, I'm sure, make the same decision that we are making, and that is we're going to increase the investment behind remodels so that we can bring all our fleet up to the same standard as fast as we can. We're very prudent in the way we're managing capital expenditures, and because of that, we're reducing new stores. You also will continue to see the trend that started a couple of years ago, and that it's accelerating of building smaller stores. Matter of fact, when we approve stores today, most of the stores that we approved are in the range of 140,000 to about 170,000 square feet. That is different than obviously what the way that we were approaching that 3 years ago, and has had significant impact, favorable impact on returns, simply because space productivity, excuse me, has been optimized, and sales per square foot as a metric of productivity of your assets is up significantly. With that, let me just summarize for you briefly what hopefully you heard today. First of all, we're very, very pleased with our current performance. Secondly, the current performance is not only for today. We believe that we are very well positioned to emerge stronger from this challenging environment. And the reason is, it's obvious. The customer trusts the Walmart brand to help them in time of difficulties. They will continue to trust us when the economy turns around. And the reason that we believe that is something that it will happen is the fact that we believe that we've built a foundation to succeed in that changing marketplace that we described, where you have customers with different ways of shopping than what you saw in the past. We have done a lot of, obviously, of research, a lot of surveying customers, a lot of introspection, and as a result, we've ended up with a format and a framework that we feel plays very well to Walmart's strengths. Last but not least, we have an incredibly talented management team, and I hope that you were able to just see some of them today, and you will see a lot more of our senior leadership team later on in the stores as we go through the and visit the store, and hopefully you'll get the sense that the depth of the bench at Walmart provides you with the confidence that the future is bright. Thank you so much. And I'll now open for questions.